A few men and women retain some ability to love divinely within themselves by deliberately not making physical love. These were the mystics, saints, and ascetics. They turned their attention inward and loved the divine energies in their own bodies. By refusing to mate with other bodies, now filling with time and emotion in the form of discontent and restlessness, they kept themselves relatively pure. But it was a pale and lopsided purity, measured against the full, rich, original radiance. Denying the earthly need of union with the opposite sex, the saintly alternative was fundamentally exclusive, unnatural, and selfish, despite its lofty devotion and idealism. Consequently, it produced half-integrated and only partly divine men and women. Things were getting unmistakably worse. The result was reflected in the orbs and halos, which had gradually shrunk in size and illumination to a small circle of light around the head. You see this today depicted in old paintings and icons, particularly of Christian saints. These shrunken, miniature halos show just how restricted and formalized man's idea of love on earth had become. By excluding the whole of his or her body from divine union with the opposite sex, and grounding love solely in the abstraction of the mind, the halo was reduced to circle the head alone, or at best, the upper part of the body. The adoption of celibacy by the mystics was a great tragedy for mankind. Mystics and saints just might have saved the day, or the world, had they acted more selflessly. It could be said that due to the inrush of time they had no choice. At least in their way, they managed to keep some pure divine love on earth, until sainthood itself all but disappeared under the weight of time. But the truth is that they didn't love enough. They didn't love their fellow man and woman with sufficient golden intensity to dip into the divine mind in their own body through intercourse. Making love to give guidance or an inspired example was too much of a self-sacrifice. Despite their divine love, and swamped by time like the rest of mankind, the mystics and saints had completely forgotten how to make physical love. But they didn't realize it, and they were very emotional about it. They even made a virtue of their forgetfulness. This is particularly evident by the time the Christian Church appears. In their relentless passion, perplexed and ridden by guilt, Christian saints denounced physical lovemaking. Like the mob that screamed, "Crucify him!" they condemned the love they feared and did not understand. Or they remained aloof. Although compassionate and mindful of the peripheral sufferings of mankind, the poverty, disease and violence, they always dodged the central issue of physical love, the cause of most of the unhappiness on earth, including their own. Even Jesus, if we are to believe his priests, avoided the issue completely and left not one word of guidance for men and women whose tireless preoccupation, now as then, is the attempt to make physical love. Because of the glaring omission of sexuality from his teachings, the Messiah has a lot to answer for, if you believe his priests and interpreters. Saintly men and women have burdened everyone in the West with their own awful guilt, and the notion that making physical love is a sin to burn in hell for. How many billions of innocent boys and girls, and men and women, have suffered the hell on earth of sexual guilt, and still do, because of the Christian saints' lack of courage to love? "God make me celibate, but not today," prayed Saint Augustine. Why didn't he ask God to show him why he loved woman so much that he couldn't stay away from her, instead of praying for an intellectual ideal that just wasn't true? So the Christians, their saints, and all the celibate monks, ascetics, and devotees of all religions who turned away from physical love tried to keep their hands clean out of the real muck of love where ordinary men and women have to live. God is enough, they said. But is that true if you're not a saint? Is it true for you? Or do you long to make love, and perhaps sense something divine, pure, and godly in making love, which you know must be there and must be found? Love is needed here on earth, and it starts between you and me, man and woman. We cannot opt out of the reality of love on earth and put love in some other place, some heaven. Love is not needed by God, who in that place is the source of love. If you want to escape to God in your love and leave man and woman behind, then God help you. You will never be complete. Man and woman need the God of love in the thick of it here on earth, not somewhere else where it already is and they are not. Only you and I together can make that love, that God, here. It is the lack of love or lack of God between us that has brought the world today to the brink of annihilation by its own hand. Where is the origin of all love on earth, even the love of God, if not in making love? For is not everyone, even the otherworldly saint, born of lovemaking? Is it intelligent to ignore the possibility that the sweetest natural physical sensation two human beings can produce together on earth signifies a reality? Isn't that the obvious place to start looking for a divine love? Have you been told to love God? No one on earth can possibly love God by an act of his or her own will. How can you love if you don't love? What would you say if I said, feel hungry, when you weren't hungry? Or perhaps you've been told to love everybody. How can you love everybody? Can you possibly do it, really? Is everybody so lovable? Do you really love your enemies? Did you tell your children today, not last Christmas, to love those who beat or bully them? Today, when someone crosses you, see if you love him. Let's be straight. Let's be honest with ourselves. We would all love to love everyone. But could we please just start with our partner? Perhaps you say, love everyone in spite of the natural tendency to be unloving. That's the task. There is no task, no duty, no hardship in love. To try to love as a task is to follow the shameful, guilt-ridden, otherworldly way. That is not the way to love. You start to love by making love, which is what you and everyone else on earth most want to do anyway. But you must learn how to make love rightly, that is, without self-indulgence, without seeking emotional satisfaction and self-gratification. Breaking the sexual habits and appetites of a lifetime will take some time and a lot of love. It will not be easy. But you will know by the feeling of rightness that you are on the way back to a more real, more fulfilling love. Eventually, after you have learned to make true physical love and have started to restore your golden halo, you'll find you have discovered how to love your fellow man, how to love your enemies, how to love yourself, and how to love God.